WSBGRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hello again, everybody. This is Dome and Domer. I'm Mike Sullivan along with Mike Brammer and Ed Sullivan. And we are licking our wounds after what might be the worst loss in the history of Notre Dame football. And I say that because so much was riding on it against such a bad opponent. And clearly the direction in the future of the football program is something that everybody is really looking at carefully, more so now than at any time probably since the end of the Willingham regime. So let's talk about some of the factors and the pros and the cons of the Charlie Weiss era coming off of that horrible loss to Syracuse. Ed, we'll let you jump in there first. There's a school of thought out there that says Weiss has recruited, you know, as well as anybody in the country. Weiss has performed well with his first two teams when he had veteran experienced talent. And therefore, this year's team performance and this loss can in some ways be excused or justified. That's one school of thought. Both you guys, give me your comments on that. Ed, let's start with you.
I think this is the worst loss in the history of Notre Dame football, and it cannot be excused one bit. It is totally a responsibility of the coach, starting with the head guy. And you know I'm somebody who started off the year saying our expectations should be around and just above 500. That's where we should be. If we break the 500 mark, we have a good season. We should take and move on. I've been a guy who solidly all along has said you got to let him have the full fleshed out 4 years senior leadership of his people, blah, blah, blah. Yesterday was so devastatingly bad and revealed that all those things that were disturbing, were they trends or not, seemed to really come home to roost and say they were trends. Here's what we know about Charlie Weiss, I think, as a coach at this point. Great recruiter, manages a group of experienced sort of veteran people, manages them from a standpoint of knowing, you know, what guys to put in the right places. And when he gets guys that work in his system, I mean, you guys got to remember what we used to think about him when, you know, opening drives in 05. Remember how opening drives he always scored. Third quarter, we scored more points than the other team, things like that. Without those elements, however, he doesn't just drop to being kind of an average coach. I think he doesn't know what to do with those situations, and he makes some colossal blunders. And the last 2 years, we've seen him make some colossal blunders. And will he be back? It's a mistake to pull the plug this year. Ultimately, he may not be the right guy, but let's make no mistake about it. There's a bunch of average coaches who would have won 8 games this year the way that who we had and how we played in the position we were in.
Bram, but, let's get Bram in there. Let's
You know, actually, I think Ed is hitting it right on the nail, and I would say this. What are we in it for? Are we in it for having a football team that shows up and plays well and competes to their ability? Yeah, he's right. There are probably a lot of other coaches that could have done better than what Charlie Weiss did. However, is Notre Dame in this to win national championships? And my argument is yes. And therefore, is Charlie Weiss capable of winning national championships? I don't think we're going to have the answer to that until next year. And my point would be this. You look at what he did with New England. He had guys that were capable of putting themselves in a position to win a Super Bowl, and he took them from an offensive coordinator standpoint, albeit, I'll agree to that. With the right kind of talent, he can be a very effective strategist on the offensive side of the ball. With the wrong kind of talent, he can be disastrous. And that's what he's shown us.
Okay, that's an excellent point, Bram. Continue. Go ahead. I don't want to interrupt you.
My only point would be that, unfortunately, we, as a Notre Dame football program, are in a situation where it's premature to fire him at the end of this year. We cannot do that. He's got two great recruiting classes. He's working on a third. When he gets all the pieces in place, when he gets the kind of veteran team that he needs and then starts backing it up with another year after that, then at that point we're going to see, all right, is it worth hanging on to a guy like this?
Okay.
And does he excel with that kind of
– Okay, there's two different points there that I think we should talk about. One, just set the record straight. He's got three excellent recruiting classes on campus now, and he's working on the fourth, which is why next year there won't be any excuses of personnel next year. Okay, I think it's still a legitimate factor to talk about, hey, we don't have a fifth year class and we don't have a fourth year class on the field that are really that you can count on, and we know you have to have those elements in place to win at the highest level. And that's why winning at the highest level is not realistic now. But the question is, and you touched upon this, you know, could we be better now? And I think the answer is yes, we should be better than we are now. And you have to go back and look at the choices being made. So the two questions, should he be given another year? Yeah, I think he should. I think it would be disastrous to change things out this year from a recruiting standpoint especially. Is he the right guy and to win a national championship? And based on the things that you've said, Mike, with the right talent, he can be good. And if he doesn't quite have the right talent, he could be a disaster. To me, that's not the right balance if you're going to be a national championship type coach.
Yeah, and I agree. I want to put, Mike, the question. You put questions to us. I'm going to put a question to you. Number one, if you're trying to win at the highest level, but you lose at the lowest level, how can you ever be the right guy? And secondly, is he just too wounded? He can never command the respect and allegiance of people. So maybe it's impossible, and so you should make a change.
Asking?
So Mike Sullivan.
Yeah, well, look, your first question, repeat your first question again.
Well, we're talking about whether he's capable of winning at the highest level, but he's now losing at the lowest level. So how could he possibly be somebody who could
win at the highest level? I'm not necessarily of the mind that he can ultimately win a national championship here. I have not seen any indication that he can. I think he's a great recruiter. And at the very least, whenever he leaves, the program will be better than when he inherited it because of the stockpiling of talent, okay? But I don't know that he can win a national championship based on what I've seen. Now, your other question I think is really very relevant. I don't know that from a perceptual standpoint he can recover from this loss. I don't know that he's going to be able to keep the Notre Dame fan base. And then you begin to wonder also, if you don't have the product on the field, how do you continue to go out and recruit at a very high level? So those are some things that I think concern all Notre Dame fans at this point.
Well, to add to that, there were several top recruits at the game on Saturday. And unfortunately, I would like to call out the Notre Dame fans that were throwing snowballs at our bench. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but if I was in the stands and somebody threw one next to me, they probably would have had a pretty sore jaw at the end of the night, because there's no way I would have stood for that.
Well,
I mean, that is pathetic.
Graham, I was at the game, and there was the ushers did surround the student section, and I saw a state trooper get hit in the head with a snowball. They tried to identify culprits, and I'm sure that they nailed a bunch of kids, but the volume of snowballs being thrown by the student section was really difficult to identify. You know what it's like in there, in the student section. You know, it's really hard to identify who's doing that. But, you know, that's kind of a real sidebar to the bigger picture, which is the direction of the football program.
I just wanted to point it out. But anyways, it's difficult because you could say, look, any coach looking at this game would say, okay, the reason Notre Dame lost is mentally they weren't prepared for the football game. And mentally during the game there was no emotion coming from the Notre Dame sidelines. I'll agree with all that kind of stuff. But I think that you have to look at, all right, is that solely rest on the shoulders of Charlie Weiss? I mean, is there any kind of out for Charlie Weiss as to what happens, you know, Saturday was a result of a bunch of different factors that come into play, not necessarily all pointing to Charlie Weiss? I mean, granted, you're you're a subject of your own times and circumstances that handle against you, but a lot of things did not go his way Saturday, and they get exemplified when you're in a situation where everybody's dying for you to win. The fact of the matter is it's too soon to make that call on Charlie Weiss, unfortunately. You can't – it's not an option to have this guy fired at the end
of the season. I agree with you on that point, but there's no excuse. The losing to Syracuse is entirely and 100% a function of the coaching staff not getting the job done either schematically, emotionally, you know, in any way you look at it. They didn't get their job done this week. And there is no way we should ever have lost to Syracuse, period, end of quote. Ed?
You know, I have a tendency to agree. I think I'm becoming more solidified in that position. And I also think that, you know, losing to BC in the way we lost or losing to Pitt, you might say is a function of, you know, man, did they get the kids ready to go on the road, BC, or things like that. That might be a week-to-week, did I manage their emotion properly and things like that. I have a tendency to think that what happened, what you saw yesterday, the seeds for that were planted a long time ago. If in that point in the season, you have to have some, you have to come up with, you know, some emotion for the team, give them something to play for, you know, so that he didn't manage the emotion that week properly, I'm sorry, no. That's the seeds were planted for that a long time ago, and they came to fruition, and now – second half of North Carolina, Pitt, BC, Navy, Syracuse, those five games belong here. And I say, I've always believed this, when you start the season, you come spring camp, summer camp, that's your team. Don't think you're going to change something during
the
season.
Ed, you're absolutely right. Sort of. About the seeds being sown, no question about it.
I would agree with that, but you got to look at it the same, but from the other token as well. I mean, how do you explain his first two seasons where he came into a program that was completely disheveled, absolutely decimated, and to the point where we're still seeing the effects of that today, even in this season, 2008, it's still resonant among us right now today.
Well, how do you explain? Ty Willingham winning his first year. There was a shot of adrenaline. Plus, you know, Charlie knows how to manage, a given set of principles. How good was that defense that year anyway? I mean, that was sort of problematic. Charlie came in and managed the offense. He gave it something it never had, which is I know what to do with Brady Quinn, Smarja, and Stovall. I know what to do with that. I could do something with that, a veteran line. Okay.
Well, that's my whole point, is what can Charlie do with a stacked offense that has and includes an offensive line?
Yeah, he's a good
The question is developing offensive line talent or developing a program in which you're pushing the right buttons for the kids you have now. And I think those are real legitimate questions when you look at last year's team, this year's team. Yeah, you're right. It's not a senior, fifth-year dominated offensive line. That's a factor. That's a factor why 8-4 would have been acceptable. It's not a factor for why you lose to Syracuse.
No, I would agree. I mean, I think the loss of Syracuse unfortunately reveals a lot about other things wrong with the program. And the big question is, does it mean that we are at a point where we are absolutely incapable of winning it? And that being the national championship with Charlie Weiss, I don't think that question has been answered yet.
No, yes, it has, and here's why. This is maybe I'm finally coming to a conclusion. If the relative competitiveness question is what's relevant here, in relative competitiveness, was Charlie able to get our guys better prepared physically, intellectually in terms of game plan scheme, and emotionally against the same relative level, North Carolina, BC, Pitt, Syracuse? No, he failed in that test in the same relative, right? So now give him a veteran squad and up the stakes. It's now us going on the road to play Texas
or Oklahoma. Well, or
hey,
USC, Ed,
you don't have
whoever.
To go with a hypothetical. It is USC in the Coliseum in 96, LSU in the Sugar Bowl, Ohio State in the Fiesta Bowl. That's your body of work right there.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is that Brammer's still asking the question because that was Charlie dealing with Ty's players
okay,
in 05, even though – okay. So I'm saying that it's the ability to take whatever I have and mold it, and then, you know, those competitive moments, whether it's your sixth grade girls basketball team you're coaching or if you're coaching in a bowl game, there's certain things that are similar – right, and can you get people to a competitive level where they can get past themselves and unify as a team?
But this goes back to the previous point you were making, that the seeds of doing that are laid in December, you know, January, February, March, July, August, etc. And I haven't seen a lot of evidence to suggest that ability to accomplish something bigger than yourself, to overcome adversity, you know, et cetera. Like, I don't see it. You know, something's wrong with the program, and it seems that we don't play hard and with passion for four quarters. And
that's it. I mean, I said it was the last thing I was going to say. I lied. Dude, look at this. In the last 3 years, 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1, routinely blows up. Because we're just not physical up front. Look at the drive Syracuse went on to beat us. They ran down the field. They stuffed it down our throats. We were not physical. And you cannot be a good football team, not only a great football team, if you're not a head coach who's capable of getting your guys to just bust people in the mouth, to be physical.
But wouldn't you agree that really has been the problem since 1995? When have we had an offense or a defensive line, especially a defensive line, but when has that been dominant with the 3 and 4 man down
since
1995? Well,
96 being Holtz's last year. After that, Bram, you're right. And the common denominator in that is we haven't had the right guy calling the shots since 1996. And
the shots aren't.
No, that's not what I mean.
That's not what you mean. I'm backing you up, Mike. I know that's not what you mean. When you say call the shots, you don't mean.
No, exactly. I mean all the things that we're talking about in January, February, July, and August. But, I think we're all saying the same thing on this issue. It would be the wrong thing to do to make a change now. I think we have some disagreement on this next issue, although, Bram, correct me if I'm wrong. Ed and I don't think that Weiss is a guy that can win a national championship for us. You're saying you're not sure, and we'll know next year. Is that correct? Okay.
That is, absolutely.
And we can debate on another time next year if we see, you know, BCS-level performance or January 1-level performance. Is that good enough at the end of next year to keep him on board if we all think that he's never going to win a national championship? But you know what? We can get into that for quite some time and do a whole other show on that, which I'm sure we will. But until then, you've been listening to Dome and Domer. For Mike Brammer and Ed Sullivan, I'm Mike Sullivan. We'll see you next time.